The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
If you want your child to receive a Catholic education grounded in faith, reason, and virtue, now is the time to act. Enrollment and re-enrollment have begun at Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School for grades 6 through 8 and St. John Paul II High School for grades 9 through 12. For information on Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School, browse to bgmps.org and click the Admissions tab. For information on St. John Paul II High School, visit jpiihighschool.org and click Admissions. All new students will receive a $1,000 tuition grant as part of their overall tuition package for their first year at St. John Paul II High School once all forms have been successfully completed. Registration fees for both schools will increase after March 31st, 2021. Now is the time to act.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Barbara, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
You know, it seems hard to believe, but next Sunday is going to be Palm Sunday, and then
That's
we
right.
have Easter.
Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday.
I know,
Sunday,
I kind of caught myself for a moment. I thought,
So, it's getting close. It's been a beautiful Lent so far, and we pray that it will continue to, as you said last week, I believe, don't give up.
Let's
make it to the finish line.
That's right.
And I want to greet everybody who's really been traveling this journey together. And I always periodically like to express my my gratitude and prayers for the community of St. Dismas at McConnell Unit in Beeville and the others. Inmates throughout the diocese and beyond who are listening to us, and we know that your journey is also a very particular one in life, and I appreciate your faith and your prayers and all those who are struggling, whether at home, being homebound or sick in the hospital or just whatever your situation is. All of our desert journeys are different, and so we want to thank you for your faith and your constant efforts to live as a good Catholic where you are. So God bless you, and I'm thinking of you, all of you, in a very particular way this Sunday.
Thank you. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, But others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it was interesting to me reading this gospel that, you know, people wanted to meet Jesus, and the apostles go and tell Jesus, and he essentially says, nope, he ignores it, and his comment was, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And I read in the Lecter book about that some scholars interpreted this remark to mean that only after Jesus' resurrection could the gospel be shared through his apostles.
Yes, well, we can look at, you know, the positioning, when the timing, because Jesus has obviously done his teaching. He's the Sermon on the Mount, so many things that have already transpired. And now he realizes for himself that this is the moment. And so, you know, the teaching side, I guess, of Jesus's mission is complete, is done. And so when he comes to the point to say the Son of Man must be glorified or is to be glorified, he's speaking of his own passion, death, and resurrection. This is the glory. This is the moment of glory, which this is the triumph. You know, when you think of in human terms, when we're looking at our own, at a triumph or a success, I mean, it's the glory and the banners and the trophies and everything. This is the trophy moment. Right. And Jesus realizes that to accomplish his mission and to really verify the words that he has spoken. If we just look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, those who show mercy, those who console. I mean, all of that is assumed into the action of the cross. It might be hard for us to put our mind around that, but there is the true verification of this is the Son of God, that he took all of this into himself and nailed it to a cross. And when tempted, even in his own doubt as a human being, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" conquered even that last moment by saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then God raised him on the third day. So this is really the glory that triumphs over evil. So I think the way I would look at this is that the talking's done. You know, the teaching is there. We need to verify it and to bring it to its fulfillment, and that has to be not only in word but in action, which is to show, to prove the true love of God, which is on the cross, that he took that. So this is the moment of glory.
Well, and you know, and then he used a metaphor about a grain of wheat. You know, when it falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit.
This is the divine economy, and in the sense that this is the way God acts. Remember, several times, both in the Hebrew scriptures as well as in our own, Jesus would say that my ways are not your ways. Get behind me, Satan, because you're thinking as human beings do, not as God does. So this is something, again, as I mentioned last program, about individualism and secularism and the kind of easing out of God in our lives, is that we don't like to think that there's another way of looking at things. My way or the highway, or these kind of narcissistic types of statements that we make that really block out any kind of divine presence or inspiration. And so this is one of those phrases that Jesus uses, which is more than a phrase, but a reality. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains just that. On the cross, then, he is showing us, verifying these very words, that the grain of wheat, the gift of God, the one that God has sent to us, must die in order to produce fruit. And so what you were saying earlier is that it's through that, then, that the words that are now given to the church to proclaim to others have their verification. You know, that because Jesus has died on the cross, because he's risen from the dead, everything is verifiable. There's the stamp of God's love in everything. So we have to lose our life to find it and hate this world, hate his life in this world. It doesn't mean to hate it, but certainly not to be, you know, that my life is a gift for myself, but it's also a gift for others. So I have to lose my life, lose my time, my talent in service to others. Not that we reject it or bury it. You can't bury your talents, but it's a gift. I think the whole notion here is that Jesus's gift of himself is that grain of wheat that dies for others. And ours is to live our life for others in order to preserve it for eternal life. You know, I think about that because I go back to that program I mentioned last week about the talk program of the secularist. And, you know, I listened to it and I thought, you know, that to anyone that doesn't have faith, it makes sense. You know, kind of very rational. But at the same time, where's the joy? Where's the fruit? Where's the realization that the Holy Spirit operates inside of us, the grace, the gift of grace that abounds in us with all of the temptations that go with it, but that there's hope, there's faith, there's love. All of these are rooted in a faith in the love of God. And so Jesus is basically saying to us that the grain of wheat, our own life, has to die into the ground in order to produce fruit, just as his life dies on the cross but produces the gift of resurrection and life for all. So it's something that you have to do it to experience it. That's what I'm trying to say, because through all of that, the true gift is the Holy Spirit, and it's the joy of life, the joy of living.
Well, and you said you were listening to this program when you were on your way to a funeral, and I think about some of the funerals that I've been to, and sometimes some of the last words are, and I'm paraphrasing, well done, good and faithful servant.
Good and faithful servant, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just what a beautiful send-off.
Right. And, you know, by their fruits you will know them. You can look at many people's lives, and this is the role of the saints in our church, is you look at what they have done, who they are, what they have said, the what they have produced, really, through their own gift of themselves. And it's not very rarely, not if ever, material things. It's not the material goods, but the true humanity and divinity. I mean, you see a real human person in these saints, but you also see the grace of God flowing through them. In other words, what they have done could not be produced just by a human mentality.
Right.
The works that they have produced for the good of the church, for the good of the poor, are not on human efforts and talents alone. There's something else that is there. And that's what Jesus is. And many of them lived on the cross, their own cross that they had to share through misunderstanding, through being rejected by their own families and stuff. But through it all, the grain of wheat died, and it produced great fruit for the church and for humanity.
Correct. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi Knights of Columbus Exemplification Team holds a monthly exemplification of charity, unity, and fraternity the third Tuesday of each month. Worthy Grand Knights and Knights of Columbus Brothers help their prospective councils grow by inviting Catholic men 18 years of age and older, be they relatives, friends, or mild acquaintances, to join. For more information on becoming a knight in a day, call the diocesan deputy, Rudy Ortiz, 361-549-9528.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, in the latter part of this gospel, Jesus, I guess in his humanity, says probably what any one of us would have said with this foresight, saying, I'm troubled now. I mean, he he knows what's ahead, which I think all of us in our human form would say,
sure,
I'm troubled.
Yeah. And this is the beauty, and this is, of course, all of these are parts of the verification in the early church that he was human and divine. So there are these moments where there is, it's unsettling, it's troubling mm-hmm. as a human being.
Right.
But the next part, you always have to put them together, you know, and the next part, but what should I say? He said, but what should I say? In other words, humanly, this is an anguish. It's nothing that anyone humanly would want to go through. But he goes on, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. And so he entrusts, Father, glorify your name. And this is the, you know, I don't know how to put it. This is the nature of Jesus. It's not there. He did not come on his own for his own sake to glorify himself, but to glorify the Father. And so again, the grain of wheat falling into the ground, all of that to produce fruit for God and for his purpose, for the Father. So it's also, I think, you know, certainly an encouragement to us. All of us have crosses, and all of us could say to whatever cross we're bearing right now, I'm troubled. This is unsettling. I would rather not have to face this, whatever it is. Or even going so far beyond that is to say, why have you done this to me? Why have you given me this cross? But this is where faith becomes real in us. Because just from a secular mentality, it's like, well, I'm not going to go through that. You know, I can solve it. I can run away from it. I can change jobs, there's so many things that I would have under personal control to be able to change the situation, at least temporarily. And I want to say at least temporarily, right, because the other one comes the next day or so on. But what Jesus shows us in his own words and then in actions is, this is the reason I came, because the Father will be glorified in and through the cross. It was interesting in the Word of Life that we read a few weeks ago from March. It's the sentence of the gospel is, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves. The grain of wheat must fall into the ground. Take up their cross, should I ask to be saved from this moment, and follow me. So it's that follow me. But it's a whole process there, to deny ourselves, to allow the grain of wheat, myself, to fall into the ground, to, in a sense, decompose into a new life of faith, and then that has to be first. I mean, you know, you can't really understand the beauty of taking up a cross without this decomposing of the old self, the old mentality, the individualism, the me mentality. That's what has to decompose in us. Okay. And that's through, you know, keeping our eyes on the cross, as we read last Sunday, but also then picking up the cross that is today, because this is where we are, the glory of God shows through. Also, in the commentary of the Word of Life for this month, it says, Jesus invites us to take up the cross, not resigning ourselves to endure it as an evil that we can avoid, not letting it come down on us and crush us, not even putting up with it by acting with stoicism and detachment. Instead, welcome it as a sharing in his cross, as a possibility of being his disciple even in those situations, and live in communion with him even in the suffering, because he first took up our cross on his shoulders. So this whole gospel here, and in particularly this part where Jesus says, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it was for this hour that I came into the world. Father, glorify your name. In every cross, he took up ours on himself, and now he's given us a share in his. This is the moment in all of our lives, whether it's a small difficulty, a suffering, a situation that I'm in, this is the cross, and this is the training ground. This is the decision time. Am I a follower or not? Am I going to focus on me or you, God? And this is when Jesus heard the voice in making that decision to take up his cross, because this would glorify God. The voice from heaven says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And, you know, I mean, I even struggle here, you know, with kind of the secular mentality that's out there. It's almost like this is ridiculous to many people. Without
right.
faith, it's
right.
ridiculous. It is. I mean, you can admit it. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. But to experience it, to experience the beauty of the cross, of this, I'll just keep using the word, the decomposition of self, of the ego, taking up that cross that Jesus lays upon us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In that, we carry that cross with him. And the glory is not only the cross itself, but the resurrection afterwards. What comes as a result of that taking it up, and that is to be a true follower of him, a deeper union with Christ, a deeper love for him. And I think, you know, toward the conclusion of the gospel that we read today, the section in the 12th chapter of John, it says, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. This is our participation in the redemptive mystery, the mystery of Christ's redemption of saving us through the cross. So as his followers, as his disciples, we have a part to play, and that is to pick up our own cross and to glorify God in that, because we are identified with him. We are his followers. We may be misunderstood. We may be even ridiculed for it, but our faith is that we are part of the redemptive plan in taking up our own cross as well, not only for ourselves, but for others.
And as we take up that cross, we're not alone with that cross. I mean, you mentioned about the yoke and it's not heavy and it's the load is light. I mean, or whatever our crosses are, we ask God to help us carry that cross.
Right.
And
he's
others. With us. Right.
Certainly, we ask him. We know that this is an identity. The cross is an identity of
right.
Christ's presence, of God's presence. And so we are not alone in that cross. And that's where we pray through the cross and with the cross. But we also realize that others, as we receive Holy Communion, the body of Christ, body of Christ, body of, we're all in this body together, and we share that taking up of the cross, knowing that it is, as the commentary says, it's not just enduring it, it's not trying to avoid it or let it crush us, or not just putting up with it as a stoic, you know, I can handle anything. No, it's, you know, this is the beauty of faith, and this is where our faith has to grow stronger, I admit. And our Holy Father keeps saying to us, we can't just be ritual kind of people and do our acts of piety, which are all important and necessary, but our faith has to go beyond that. It must be deeper than that, rooted in something. And the cross is where the real root of faith takes place, that it's there that we say, we do it in union with Christ, in union with others, for the redemption of the world, to offer ourselves. How many saints have led the way in showing us that our own sufferings, when embraced this way, in union with Christ, serve the purpose of redemption for ourselves and for others. We can offer our sufferings for someone else, because we're part of a body. And the head of that body is Christ, who has gone the way before us and shown us the way, was faithful to his own cross, faithful to the plan of God. And in every cross, it's our turn to as well be in union with him, and also to allow God's name to be glorified through us.
And you mentioned faithful to the plan of God. And for a lot of us, we question, God, what is your plan? Or I'm going to go my own way. And this
right.
is the time for us to say, no, let's listen to the plan of
right.
God.
Right, and there again is, it's not a drive-through, you know.
That's right.
God's plan is not a drive-through at the microphone and you get to the window and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long journey, but the beauty of looking at life as a divine adventure with God, there are these crosses along the way, but there's also moments of great joy and beauty and resurrection and so many things that convince us through the fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace and joy and love that the world can't give us. But once we're in touch with those, we realize that that God's plan is being unfolded, the inspirations that come, the works, the good works that are produced in us, through us, around us. We know, I know, that He is risen and He is with us, and it's He that brings redemption and life to others and to ourselves as well.
And what a full life we have by our faith.
Right, and I think, the last thing, at the very end of the gospel, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And that's for us as well. If we are lifted up with Christ, if we decompose our ego through love and service and union with God, once that all happens and the cross has come, we embrace them, people are attracted to that. People want to see authentic, transparent Christian life. And that's for us to do. Jesus is beyond the world now, but He lives in us. He wants to see His process of redemption happening in us and through us. And in that, He will draw people to Himself through us. This is our mission, and this is what we pray that all of us will embrace more as we bear the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could please end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God. May we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed Himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.